got a heck of a week here for you. A heck of a week. I've got coming on today, I've got Kiki Vigil. I've got another guest coming on in just a few minutes from the Cato Institute to talk about Real ID, but that's nothing compared to, with all due respect, with Kiki coming on, Mark D'Antonio's coming on this week, and also we've got, of course, Walt Rubel coming on. It's going to be a great week, but I'm really looking forward to Kiki coming in this morning and kind of giving his side of the story. Of course, I'm looking forward to Mark D'Antonio coming on. So we've really got some quality programming coming up here. But this had a good weekend with. Oh, and I've got Harry Stryker from Gun World coming on, too, on Wednesday. So just a jam-packed week. Not much going on in the NCAA football, but professional football. You've got Andy Dalton knocked out as quarterback of the Bengals. He very, very stupidly tried to tackle somebody who was rude enough to intercept one of his balls and then broke his thumb. So we've got that. I'll get into why don't I get into the NFL a little bit later. I've got this gentleman calling up from the Cato Institute. The Cato Institute is an independent and kind of a libertarian think tank. So he's calling in from Washington, D.C., and he said he'd call me just a little bit after I opened up the show. Trump is still up in the polling, but Cruz has taken over in Iowa, and some people are thinking that Cruz is kind of sat back, hasn't really bothered to fight, and so he's now getting ready to take over the race. According to some people, anyway, we've got Jim Farrell here, and is Jim Farrell? That must be you. How you doing this morning?
Jim Harper, he's good.
Jim Harper, sorry about that. Jim Farrell's the guy that set up the meeting for us. So you are, could you give us a little background, Cato Institute back in Washington, D.C.?
Sure. I'm a senior fellow at Cato. Cato is a libertarian think tank. We do our best to limit the size and scope of government in every dimension.
Okay.
Keeping it out of your wallet, keeping it out of your bedroom.
Well, that's good. And so Cato was named after the famous ancient Roman during the Republic, the statesman.
Actually, many people think that, but there were a series of letters written in England that preceded the Revolutionary War that were called Cato's letters.
Right, I know about those.
During the Revolution in the U.S., we had Publius, who wrote the Federalist Papers.
Right.
In England,
right.
It was Cato. Cato was the inspiration for many of the founders in the United States. So
who was the person behind Cato, those letters?
You know, my history isn't up to it.
I'm going to Google that while you're talking about Real ID. Okay, so how did you end up at the Cato Institute?
Well, I grew up in California, and during law school at Hastings College of Law in San Francisco, I was looking at the size and scope of the federal government, learned a lot about that at school, and was inspired to come to Washington, D.C. Very soon after arriving in D.C., started reading Cato stuff, and I thought it was really excellent. It was the only organization I found in Washington, D.C. that was consistent across the board. It wasn't just trying to elect a certain party. They were calling it like they saw it in terms of first principles for our country. That is a limited government, a constitutionally limited federal government, both authority left the state and basically a free people that are allowed to direct their own lives.
Right. Now, I'm looking here, and Wikipedia is telling me that Cato's letters were essays by British writers John Trenchard and Thomas Gordon, published from 1720 to 1723 under the pseudonym of Cato, who was a foe of Julius Caesar's plans for tyranny. So, so we were going to talk about the ID issue today.
Yeah, the Real ID Act is a hot issue again, and I'm very pleased to be talking to you in Las Cruces because that's the place where the first hearing on the Real ID Act ever happened. I'm not just talking about the first hearing in a state legislature. The first hearing ever happened in Las Cruces.
Wow.
It was the Courts, Corrections, and Justice Committee of the New Mexico legislature. Congress didn't do a hearing on this bill before it passed. And when states started to realize what they were supposed to do under the Real ID Act, they started to bridle, and one of the first legislatures to take a serious look at this was New Mexico's legislature. So it's, I was in Las Cruces for that hearing. It's good to be back, if only via telephone.
What year were you here, or what was the date?
That was 2006, mid-September in 2006. The Real ID Act passed Congress in May of 2005. Commanding states to issue their driver's licenses and issue ID cards according to federal standards. It was a sort of classic in those days, especially people were talking about unfunded mandates a lot. It was a classic unfunded mandate. It offends the kinds of things that I came to Washington to fight. And not only that, it has this characteristic of a national ID card. And I think that's very important to be talking about.
All right.
Presently in New Mexico and around the country, people are just kind of looking at this as a question of who gets licenses and who doesn't. There's a lot more to this issue.
All right. So the Real ID Act, which came out of 2005, enacted in the same year. Especially given the fact that supposedly we in the state now don't have IDs that meet federal standards. What is wrong with the Real ID Act?
The problem with the Real ID Act, for my purposes, is that it creates a national ID system. By that, I mean it's a system that is uniform nationally and that identifies people uniquely. So, you know, we've had a federal driver's licensing system. That is, every state gets to decide how it licenses its drivers. Most, you know, do essentially the same things, and that's all fine because it's supposed to be a matter of state prerogative. The Real ID Act says that if you don't issue your driver's licenses according to federal standards, the federal government won't accept your licenses. The federal government can't directly regulate the state, so it does it this way. It says we're not going to accept your licenses if you don't do it the way we want. So that basically comes down, for most people in most places, that basically comes down to whether or not TSA is going to accept their licenses when they go to travel. New Mexico has a number of federal institutions, labs, and things like that, like Sandia. So that's another area where they can threaten to deny acceptance of the New Mexico driver's license. But I think the basic question is whether New Mexico should give up its authority over licensing. It's been a state decision at the very beginning, and this is could be another area where the federal government is taking over.
All right. So, there's no lack of that. Can I ask you another question that comes to mind here? Does it have anything to do with the Mark of the Beast?
Well, there is a community of people who feel very strongly that this meets the biblical prophecy of the Mark of the Beast. I'm not such a person, but I certainly appreciate the advocacy of those who do believe it.
All right, so... Okay. So let's just say that New Mexico does fight this. Well, let me come in. We need to take a little break here, but let me ask you this question before we go to break. What happens if we do take on the federal government? I mean, couldn't we be losers? Let's answer that in just a second. Can I put you on hold?
Of course.
Yeah, thanks. By the way, do you have a caller here? Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Takashi. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Takashi. Jim can't hear you. I put him on hold. But what's your question or statement?
I wanted to throw this out there real quick. I noticed nobody is mentioning that one of the requirements of the new IDs was RFID chips implanted in the new driver's license.
Okay, ID chips and driver's license?
Yeah, RFID chips was one of the new requirements of the new Real IDs.
Okay. And what about the chip?
I'm saying that's some kind of a tracking device, isn't it?
Well, it certainly sounds like it. I'll have to do a little research on that. But
I'd like to hear that guy's opinion on it. I'll take my hands off here.
Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. All right, folks. We'll take a little break. 6:16. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I've got Jim Harper from Cato. Smart guy. He went to Hastings Law School in Berkeley, actually. But we'll be back and continue on. I've got a question that I've laid out there. What happens if we take on Uncle Sam? 6:17, and we're going to get that answer. Jim.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I can barely hear you.
I will hold the mic closer, or hold the phone closer to my face.
Can you try? I'm playing as my bumper music, He's a Rebel by the Crystals. I hope that you take that as a compliment. All right. So there was a guy that called up when I put you on hold, and then I got a phone call. A guy was asking, his name's Takashi. He's not on the air, he's no longer on, but he wanted to ask off the air if there was an RFID chip and what that meant. He said it was a tracking device. He asked that question on the air.
There is not an RFID chip. RFID stands for radio frequency identification. In the early going, it looked like they might put an RFID chip in the driver's license. So the real ID compliant driver's license does not have an RFID chip. However, the enhanced driver's license, which is another form of license that states are issuing to federal standards, that does have a long range RFID chip. So they can pick up your presence from 30 feet away using a chip on that card.
But nothing you could track from, say, a satellite or something like that.
Not according to current technology, but they're always working to make it better.
Right, of course. It's funny, the police state, it reminds me of the, who was the philosopher that wrote about the panopticon? The prison cell that could be seen from anywhere in the prison?
Yeah. We might have to go back to Wikipedia on that one again, but that was the very idea that it was Bentham, Jeremy Bentham.
Yeah, that's right.
That. The idea that when you were visible to authorities at all times, you would behave, you would be cowed. You would be basically subject to their authority because of the constant risk of observation. We're not in that society right now, but it's certainly good to keep in mind if we're crafting policy about our driver's license and other identity systems that we want to be able to maintain our.
We're back on the air.
Americans have a right.
We're back on the air.
Sorry.
It's 6:20, and we've got Jim Harper on the line from Cato Institute, and Jim. We got a phone call. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to get the answer for what happens when little old New Mexico picks a fight with Uncle Sam. But Takashi called up and said that he understood that part of Real ID was an RFID chip and wanted to know your opinion on that.
Well, there was a time during the implementation phase when they were considering putting an RFID chip, that is radio frequency identification, in the cards. It's not currently a requirement of Real ID compliant cards, but there is an enhanced driver's license, so-called, that has long-range Real ID in it, or rather long-range RFID in it. That means that it can be interrogated from a long distance, and they can pick up your presence from, say, 30 feet away. Not currently a requirement of Real ID, but if the feds get control of licensing policy, they might just make it a requirement.
Okay, and so, people are worried about the police state, and I had mentioned to you Bentham's Panopticon off the air, this prison that's set up so that the design of the prison means that the prisoner can always be seen by the jailer no matter where the jailer's at. And this kind of this idea that you're always under surveillance. And certainly Cato has some strong opinions on the question of privacy.
Yeah, it's in my opinion, at least, privacy is something that Americans should have for any reason or no reason. You aren't accused of something. What you do with your life is nobody's business but your own. We benefit greatly, obviously, from advances in technology, and I'm no Luddite. I'm not opposed to new technology. But when we don't have a choice, such as when it comes to driver's licenses, I don't think we want to be forced to adopt a national ID system that could be used for tracking our whereabouts and making notes about all our activities.
Okay, so the question then becomes, are we really going to take on Uncle Sam in this fight where nobody can then get on an airplane anymore or nobody can cross a border?
Well, on that, I'd say don't believe the hype, because Real ID passed in 2005 with a 3-year compliance deadline. So by May of 2008, every single state in the nation was supposed to be issuing national IDs according to the Real ID Act. The Department of Homeland Security didn't even issue regulations until January of 2008. They didn't have their act together. So they immediately handed out deadline extensions to every state in the union. And they've done so several times since. They've basically bluffed the issue and said, states, you're going to have to start complying right now. And when state governors have stood up to the DHS and state legislatures, DHS has backed down. The reason for this is fairly simple, I think. If they were to turn Americans away at the airport, say you can't travel because you're not carrying a national ID, all of the blowback would come to the Department of Homeland Security, the TSA, which is not most people's favorite agency, and to the Congress. It's not that people are going to turn to their state legislature and say, hey, you failed to put a national ID in my hands. This is a thing that DHS knows they're gonna back down on. So they do a lot of bluffing. They do a lot of bluffing behind closed doors with our state legislatures. But when push comes to shove, if the legislature and the governor stand up to the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security will back down.
All right. So do you? There's the fight in the state over the whether illegals should or undocumented person should have a driver's license. Do you have an opinion on that? That's not why you called in, but
I don't have a strong opinion. I think that